Thank you, Sean. Amen. Doesn't he do a good job? Before we go any further, while he gets this mic adjusted, Chad and Gina, Chad, who often does our transitions for us, and one of our associate ministers here, and Gina are in Phoenix. His stepdad, what was his name?
David
yeah, passed away this week. So they're down there giving much needed support and comfort to his mother and that family down there. So, and on a, so could we just take just a few minutes? Father, I thank you for your grace and your strength upon Chad and Gina as they minister comfort to the family. And Father, that you would speak through them, that just their being there, the Holy Spirit would be known, and that that family would be strengthened and encouraged. Father, these are tough things, tough questions, but you promise that part of what your sweet Holy Spirit does is he puts words in our mouths. We don't know what to say, but we offer ourselves as a minister of comfort and strength. You put your words in our mouths, and Father, I thank you that your words are found in their mouths as they strengthen the family. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Amen. Sandy, can you stand? Look at this. Isn't that awesome? How long has it been since you've been able to join us in a service? Isn't she beautiful, by the way? She's been in a battle with cancer and for her life, and God has been gracious and good, and to see you standing here with that smile, it's just so awesome to have you home. Amen. Hang on. I almost asked you up there. She won't want to talk.
I couldn't have done it without the support of my church family and everybody who helped me go to treatments, and when my husband couldn't take me, and I felt all the prayers, and I just want to thank everybody. In Jesus' name, thank you.
Isn't that awesome? Would you give her a big hand clap? Stretch your hands towards her, would you? Father, we thank you for your continued strength and grace and healing power on her life. Father God, we speak over her in Jesus' name, every whit whole, and everybody agrees, says,
amen.
Amen. God, good to have you home.
I'm happy to be.
Absolutely. Praise the Lord. Also, Leanne and Lissy wanted everybody to know, you know, the mom and daughter team that helps us. Aren't they awesome?
Yeah.
That's Leanna Robinson Wells. Yeah. So they're Brandon Cavs today. There's a lot of people were this week. In fact, we were. My Jeff, I don't normally do this, but I have to. My friend Jeff and his sweet wife. I have stage fright right now, so I forgot your name. I'm so sorry. Jeff and Mary joined us. Jeff was out there with us, is every year for the branding. Jeff, among other things, one of the professors at Embry-Riddle, just retired, and quite a guy. And Jeff was going out there long before I ever was out there at the Barhart 13, 14 years ago. He preceded me. And it's part of the, has been for years part of the Bill Williams Mountain Men. And so you get to wave at him in the parade once in a while if you don't see him in the outback. But Jeff, it's good to have you and your beautiful wife here with us this morning. And each and every one of you, if you're new with us, we welcome you. So good to have all of you. There goes the name thing again. You see the blank stare? But if you're here today, we want to welcome you. So glad that you are here with us. Leanna and Lissy wanted you to know, we're branding, we didn't quit, so that's what they're doing. They're helping Logan out. And so we're thankful today for safety, a good, safe branding. Amen. They wore me out, Ibby. I think my arm is... So anyway, we drug calves to our horses stopped. So at any rate, how many are glad for Jesus today? That worship was awesome. You guys do such a good job. Stephen, where'd Stephen go? Gives himself, is he with the kids? Oh, there you are. You had your hood up. I didn't see you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are we good to go on this? Okay. Praise God. helps. If you're new with us, as a result of everything that's taken place around us, I've made some really big changes in my own thinking, in what my place is as a pastor, as a leader, and hopefully you're being a leader with your sphere of influence, not just all me. But I have always been, I didn't call it intimidation because I'm not the kind of guy, and those that know me, I'm not an intimidated sort of fella. But you know, the overwhelming status quo coming from people that we love and know and respect has caused me to be ever so careful to remain, hang on, apolitical, to never use the church house for politics. Now, my job is not to be a politician. And as I have said, I'm not supposed to use this pulpit as a bully pulpit for politics. But for me to remain quiet at a time like this is irresponsible. It's wrong. And for me to shirk my duty out of political correctness, I've had it up to here. I can't do it anymore. I didn't think I was before. My apologies for where I did. And listen, we're going to preach the gospel. I'm not going to use, this is now what we have become. This is our new identity. No way. Our identity is in Jesus and Jesus alone. And Jesus will continue to be preached. But at the same time, we have a responsibility. Jesus said we are called to be salt and light. We were created in His likeness and His image for this purpose, unto good works. I'm so glad that, we'll touch on this in just a moment, good works, not how you're saved, not how you keep it. It's a byproduct of heart belief in He who is the answer, amen. Okay? Amen. You understand that? Those that have been with us over the last several weeks, we've hit some things, I think, fairly hard. And I do want to swing, you know, one of the toughest things that a pastor or any leader deals with whose heart is in the right place, and I'm not saying that mine is perfect and I'm always in the right place, but my desire, my goal, my intent is to always keep me where I need to be, keep Jesus centered. And at the same time, to teach you to keep your eyes on Jesus, not on Bubba. You better never believe a thing I say, because I said it. I don't care how much you think of me or how much you may look up to me. You better keep your eyes on Jesus. Sooner or later, I'm going to say something that you won't agree with, or in some form or fashion, I'm going to let you down. And if I haven't done my job, you will have been leaning on me and not in the one that I'm encouraging you to see. My main job is that He is unveiled, that you see Him and your faith. I'm telling you, there is no perfect church. There is no perfect pastor. And if you think there is one, when you got there, it wasn't anymore. We all need Him every day. Are you here? And we're learning and growing. None of us hear from God perfectly. We need one another in this process. So the biggest job is keeping us out of one ditch or the other. And I think, whether I'd like to admit it or not, intimidation has kept me from speaking up, and a little bit in my defense. Would you allow me that? We had some people that are no longer with us that we love dearly. I champion their testimony and their heart for Jesus. And you've seen them up here in the front. I love them to pieces. And the last thing I wanted to do was bring separation. And so I waited and I waited and I allowed room and extended time, probably far beyond. But I'd rather err to that end than to unnecessarily hurt or drive people away. But there comes a time when you have to call a spade a spade, if I may use that. and let the chips fall where they may. And, you know, we live in very exciting times, sometimes a little too exciting. But for such a time as this, as God told Esther, you and I, who believed on His name, have His Holy Spirit within, for such a time as this, we were born to live and breathe and walk in our calling and our fulfilling in boldness and in righteousness. And we have to realize that. So I'm going to just hit what I have here until 11:30. We will not extend the service like we did a few weeks ago. We're going to end at 11:30, whether I'm done or not, and we'll pick up next week. One of the things that I'm praying about is, you know, help me, brother. Kyle, for crying out loud. Kyle and I were talking last week. You know, are we gonna continue with our Bible study that we were doing on Sunday nights? Well, I'm thinking about some things. And one of the things that I'm thinking about is, and we'll let you know, it won't be this coming Sunday, but it would be the following, is I'm thinking about just having a organized chaos Sunday evening service in which we bring our the information that we have. You know, we can talk and talk among ourselves, but talk with no do, talk with no actions. If we have some truth on some things, and as Americans and people who now understand that our rights are being trampled upon, listen, to be a Christian does not mean you become a doormat. The other side of that is you don't have to become a wild-eyed, crazy zealot back into your food cave with an AK in both hands. There, but I'll tell you what, the founding, well, I better not go there yet. We'll just stop right there for now. There is going to come a time, possibly, when you must make a stand. But for believers, it starts in the Spirit. If you think your answer is just political or just in the voting booth or just in the... We're in trouble already. First off, we are not of this world. I'm an American and I'm proud of America. I'm not proud of a lot of areas where America has gone. But I believe there's enough of us here still who believe that this nation was founded by the hand of providence. Regardless of what revisionists have done and how they've respun history, men who were imperfect but believed in divine providence had founded a nation which has afforded freedom such as has never been known. And those that are against it are having a terrible time trying to squelch it. But they seem to be gaining ground because so many Christians are looking for the escape card. End time teaching, which always has a blood moon, or an Aztec or whatever it is calendar, and guys making millions off their books and setting dates for the return of Jesus. Nothing ever happens. They never apologize. They never back up. They take the money home, and on we go. It's time for us to wake up and realize it's up to God when He sends Jesus to return. In the meantime, believers must have a voice. You must speak up. But we must keep things balanced. We start in the Spirit first. So without further ado, maybe I'll just jump right into a few things that I have on my heart that I want to share, and then hopefully you'll figure that out. I promise you, I'm not going to use this as a political bully pulpit, but how many know that a system without politics is a system with no representation? Did I say that right? And there are those that are making a lot of noise for the wrong reasons. I believe that Christians should be respectful, should be honorable. I think what's happening right now with the death of this young man, it's despicable what happened. There's no way around it. But it's equally as despicable, a nation gone awry that's stealing TVs, almost beating a man to death in Dallas, looting and rioting their own neighborhoods, putting people out of business. It's insane. It is. You have people like Antifa involved and others, absolutely, taking advantage of every one of these things. But we got to be careful, because you can get caught up in so much of this stuff that after a while, you're just one of them. You're just angry and wanting to fight. There's a way to fight. And it starts in the spirit first. Our battle should be different. There's a time to stand, but you start first in the spirit. So let me just open up and then we can figure out where we're going from there. Amen? I mentioned the last several weeks. This is an article out of from a website that I follow, New Life Network. And they didn't list the author at all. Caught my attention because it was almost line for line my notes on the same subject. So I'm just going to start here and we'll move forward. Want to say something that I said several weeks ago. Ignorance is not bliss, but rather the soil in which fear and an improper and dangerous response to it can grow and grow. You can be kept in the dark. You can be kept ignorant. Fear and ignorance is how those who have an agenda control those they believe are of lesser whatever. You can fill the blank. But before we go any further, I just want to share a few of these truths with you. This post was originally published by a post called A Nugget from New Life Network, Scripture for the Day, April 10th, 2019. Mark chapter 9, verse 3, if you want to turn there, is the verse where they start. Jesus said unto them, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe it. How many believe that today? What about the rest of you? How many believe that today? Amen. How many times have you heard that fear is the opposite of faith? I've heard it hundreds, if not thousands of times in sermons and in books on faith. Am I saying fear doesn't negatively affect faith? Negatively affect faith? No, no, no. Absolutely. It absolutely does. What I am saying, though, is that fear is not the main culprit. There's another condition that instigates and produces fear, and we need to be aware of that original condition that births fear in the first place. We have an enemy. Paul said we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. 1 Peter 5:8, Peter says, for our adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may. Everybody say may. He can't do it at will. We have to give permission, and we'll hit that a little bit later. Seeking whom he may devour. We have an enemy. His name is Satan, and he comes to steal. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10. If you're new to all this, this is a great scripture for you to write down and look at, because so much of religion has misrepresented who Jesus is. Jesus states in this one simple verse his purpose, what he came for, other than revealing the Father. John chapter 10, verse 10 says, the thief comes but for to steal, kill, and destroy. It amazes me how that religion puts God in the place of taking life. How many times have I seen people die in terrible deaths and people say, well, God must have needed another angel in heaven. I'm not going to get into all that with you right now. That's a sermon for another time, but let's just stay simple. Jesus stated very clearly, it is the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We have an enemy. You hear me say it in here all the time. If you're part of our church, you hear people say it all the time. Everything happens for a reason. It's a very misleading comment, because the inference there is that God is behind everything that happens. The thing is, if you're going to look at the whole counsel of the Word of God, James chapter 4, verse 7 says this, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. That means that there are some things that come our way, many things that come our way in life that have nothing to do with God. They have everything to do with our enemy. And for those that have believed on his name, he has given us his name. And Philippians 2 states this, that because he humbled himself, set aside his glory, became a man, humbled himself as a servant even unto the death of the cross, took our place. Hold that thought for a minute. 2 Corinthians 5:21 states that he, the righteous, perfect Lamb of God, he who knew no sin, on that cross became sin for you and me so that we could. It was a divine arbitrary exchange so that we who believed could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's radical. That means that God deals with the inner man first. How many in here are perfect? How many got things on the outside you still need some work on? If I could get both feet up, I would. None of us are perfect. That's why God starts with the inner man first. You prayed that prayer earlier with us today, and you never prayed that prayer. Write this scripture down. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Listen, people, I go through these simple things because you never know who's here. We get so impressed with ourselves teaching our 3 points in a poem for a CD. I could give a rip about the recording. What I want is that everybody that's under my voice, every time I get a chance, I may not be the most eloquent, but my heart is all in. I want you to know Jesus, for he is the answer. If this all fails and nothing works, and we come under a whole new system, I've been inside communist countries, and I've watched believers flourish and watch the power of God provide and strengthen and supernaturally protect for those who believed. But I'm also here to tell you, not time for that yet. And we got time to make a difference in the right way. I got off track. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you prayed that prayer with us earlier this morning, here's what it says. That if we've confessed that prayer, we become a new creature. And that verse says, therefore, if any one is in Christ. How did you get in Christ? Through the simple profession of faith. You confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead. How many believe that this morning? 3 of you. How many believe that this morning? That's what he said. He said, you become a new creature. Something changes. You're going to recognize a difference when you walk out of here today, a hunger for God, a hunger for truth. That means you've come alive. Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, I hope you're writing this down if you're not familiar with these verses, says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, any man, the King James says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he, she, they are a new creature. Not remade, guys. I know some guys in here that can remodel, redo, repair, do beautiful restorations, but we're not talking about a remodel or repair. We're talking about brand new on the inside. He empowers us from the inside out. How many are glad for that today? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That means that somewhere on the inside of you, God did a work that made it possible for him to live in you. And he's not embarrassed by you. All sin is paid for. Hook up. Get into this word. Let your mind now be renewed through this precious word. To the new you on the inside. How many are glad for Jesus today? How many are glad for Jesus today? Amen. So our daily walk with him, that makes all of the difference. Now listen, when he comes to live on the inside of you, he gives you his spirit. He gives you his name. I started to quote Philippians 2 that says that he humbled himself even unto the death of the cross for our sake. That's why he did that. That's why he took our place. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we could become the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus today. If you prayed that prayer, God does not consider you righteous like Abraham of old. He has made you righteous in Jesus. I'm really glad for that today. Praise the Lord. Says that through that work that he did on the cross, he was given a name that is above every name that is named in heaven and in earth and under the earth. And he goes on to say that at that name, every knee will bow and every tongue, sooner or later, one way or another, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. How many would agree with me today that he is Lord? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your work. So, and he's given us the power through that name. How many use the name of Jesus when you hit your thumb with a hammer? No, that's not the one we're talking about. How many use the name of Jesus now? A name that is above every name. Take your authority given to you in Jesus. Okay, so anyway, let me get back to where we were at. We have an enemy. His name is Satan. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That verse, that whole verse says this: the thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Satan is a defeated foe, so the only power he has over us is the power we give him. I can back that up with Scripture. I don't have time to do it this morning. I'm back it up all the way home. How do we give him power? I'm glad you asked. The battleground is in our minds, and the main way Satan attacks a believer is through lies, because he is the father of lies. If he can get you to believe a lie, then you have just abdicated some of the power Jesus gave you, and by so doing, it gives Satan power over you. This is what happened to Eve and then Adam. Now let's look at just a few of the many ways Satan uses to deliver and distribute his lies. Number one is religious. Now, if you've been around here very long, you know we are a very strong grace church. I also am very aware that the grace message has been very abused, but it doesn't change the gospel. Satan uses religious traditions and doctrines, for starters. Jesus said the traditions, this is Jesus, and Mark 7, verse 13 says, the traditions, Jesus himself said this, the traditions of men make the word of God of no effect. You've heard me say it many times, the word of God that becomes cliche to you loses its power for you. Now, it never loses its power. But what I mean by that is, for you, you're not able to receive. If it becomes cliche, if you just flip out, it's amazing how people will just quote stuff, and it's not even from the Bible. Cleanliness is next to godliness. That's somewhere in the Bible. No, it's actually not. Good idea, but it's not Scripture. And there are people that all, and then there are people that have their religious beliefs, and they don't let the Bible get in the way of them. But how many know if we love Jesus and we honor his word, then we're going to find out what his word says and live accordingly. Can you say amen? Yes. We doing all right? Okay, so let me just continue. If he can, let me just back up. Jesus said the traditions of men make the word of God of no effect. Mark 17, Satan knows the word, so you better know it too, or you'll get misled. I've noticed that some of the cults know Scripture better than the average Christian. We better wake up and know for ourselves what the Word of God says. Here's another one. Unforgiveness, bitterness, and hatred. John said in 1 John chapter 4 that perfect love casts out fear, not perfect hate. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. I believe that what John said was his perfect love for me cast all fear out. of my life in reference to God, eternity, judgment. I believe that's what he meant. But the truth, the principle is still there. As we grow in his love that he gave for us, it has the effect that fear begins to leave our life. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. 1 John 4:18. Here's another one that he uses. Intellectualism without the Spirit. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, not many wise men are chosen. You ever been around somebody that was so unbelievably smart, but they didn't have the common sense to check their zipper? Well, in a similar fashion, there are those that they are so educated, they miss the simple. And Jesus said, for you to enter into the kingdom of God, you must be like a child. I've noticed some of the greatest miracles that I've seen, both on the mission field and other places, were not where people had tons and tons of knowledge. They simply put their faith in Jesus. I've seen some amazing things. You may think I'm crazy, some of you know me, but I've seen eyes, cataracts, people almost completely blind right here. As I was praying for them, I didn't do anything. I wish I could make it happen. I just simply laid hands and prayed. But as I was praying, how many of you in here have experienced the healing power of God? He is real. I watched them right here, me personally, Honduras. I can name the town and the place, and watch a little gal in her late 60s, eyes turned just like baby's eyes as she wept, and people around her were just freaking out. We serve a good God. Religion has made him mean and spiteful and revengeful. You better read your Bible and find out who the Father is revealed by Jesus. I don't care who you think he was. Jesus, after Jesus, we found out who he is and always was and forever shall be. He is a good God. Some of you are staring at me like a cow looking at a new gate, but it's still true. He is a good God. Come on, would you say it with me? For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Praise ye the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord, somebody. Hallelujah. He is good. Come on. Now you're awake. Me too. May I continue? Not many wise men are chosen, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God loves to use nobodies. Everybody wanted Saul as their king, but God had a little guy on the backside of the desert, a musician with the heart of a warrior, but not the big, tall, handsome guy Saul was. He was a nobody. That's the one God used to defeat Goliath. Say, God loves me, and he can use me for whatever needs to be done. Intellectually, we have a lot of that right now. Intellectualism without any spirit. We have a lot of intellectualism without any discernment. We have a lot of people believing everything they're seeing in a very, very messed up. President Trump has it right. Fake news. It's bad. It's really bad. And if you're basing your decisions on what you're hearing every day on the main news, you need to wake up and realize we have some serious problems there. Okay, let me continue. Let's get back to the root cause of fear. The supreme nuclear weapon that Satan uses to defeat believers and create fear in the first place is double-mindedness. Can you say double-mindedness? He will attack you I mean, try to get on the inside of you. I saw something yesterday, and it's probably a worn-out cliche, but it was, I guess I had never heard it like that or forgotten it. It was talking about what we're going through right now, and it says, you know, a ship is not necessarily threatened by all the water that surrounds it, but by the amount of water that gets on the inside. You stand firm in the name of Jesus. Trust the Holy Spirit. If you've been here with us the last several weeks, and if you haven't, you can get the audio and the video. Trust the Holy Spirit. If you have come into Jesus and are born again, your spirit man is new. He put his Holy Spirit in you, and there's things that your inner man is picking up on, and you need to wake up and pay attention. When a lot of this stuff was first going down, I talked to so many people right off the get-go. They said, I smell something funny. Trust that. But the enemy will come and try to get you to be double-minded. I remember back in 2006, David Simmons and I, along with a good friend of ours, Jeremy Morris, we went over to California to a big, well, for us, it was a big roping, a ranch roping deal. And I remember we went over, what wasn't a huge deal, but it was big in the Buckaroo community, and probably I lost half of you right there. But anyway, big, and so we went over there and competed in this, what they called a Coastal Classic Ranch Roping, and qualified and ended up going back and not only winning the finals, but setting an arena record for that thing. We won the buckles and the jackets and the whole deal. We were doing so good that I had a fellow that we knew, a good friend of Jeremy's, saw. I mean, it was just one of those times where you couldn't hardly miss. And so he came to me, approached me, he said, listen, one of our guys, he got plastered last night, he's sick, and I don't remember what the whole story was, but he couldn't. He said, would you come and rope with us on our team so we can make sure we get, well, I said, man, I'll be glad to. And we were riding high. Well, when the buzzer went off and the three of us are working our way around the edge of the arena and they're calling out the numbers of the cattle that we have to rope and down, I heard a guy, we got a bunch of spectators there, and I heard a guy say through the boards, Jeff, you'll get a kick out of this, say through the boards, and I heard him. He said, watch this kid. I was no kid at the time. I'm probably sure I looked like one. But he said, watch this kid. He never misses. You know what happened. Corey came to me afterwards and says, man, what happened? You're roping like you're on fire. And I went on to rope after that, and we won the finals. I don't know. It got to me. A little word slipped through the boards, made me double-minded. It got to my guts. And I fell apart for a little while. The enemy seeks to do that to you. And we may get bobbled for a little while, but listen, you belong. You're a king's kid. Say, I'm a king's kid. Come on. I belong to him. I may win or lose a few battles, but I've won the war in him. I need to be encouraged and know that greater is he that is in me. Come on. This is what John told us. This is the word of God. Greater. Shout it out with me today. Greater. Some of you have heard that so many times, it's just like, wah, 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 wah. It's true. It's the word of God. Sean, it's truth. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. But he seeks to get us double-minded. And what he uses is double-mindedness. You know, when I heard that, the next thing that happened was my heart was seized with fear. And it made me think, that's scary. And I lost my, I couldn't. It just wouldn't go. You ever been there? Just wouldn't. You ever been there in a Brandon pen? I mean, you got it the way it is. And he does that with lies. Let's look closely at scripture below. That was a lie that I never miss. You don't believe me? Check it out. Anyway, James, okay. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. Now, I may not get to everything that I wanted to talk to about today. I may remain after service when we're done here in another 10 minutes or so and give you a little bit of information. But one of the areas that I wanted to go to, and I can already see I'm going to be out of time, is we're just going to move forward in the weeks to come. Show our place as salt and light, how believers ought to be involved, how our voice should be heard, why I should be calling a spade. I'm not afraid to name politicians and name the direction and name what's going on. We will do that. But we've got to stay centered. If we don't stay centered on Jesus, we're just going to become another one of those groups that all we talk about is, I don't want to do that. Same time, we need to be awake, aware, praying right, believing right, and acting right. And I believe there are things that we should be involved in doing. This thing called, something, in case I don't get to it at the end of the service, I'll try to get to it next week. If you have not heard of contact tracing, you need to wake up. It's dangerous. It's real. It's happening in the red states. Big time. Right now in the state of Texas and Georgia. I got an article. You would not believe what they are doing. The stuff that they are pushing through. This movie is coming to a place near you. And we better as a people unify. At first, peacefully. With the word of God in our mouth and the name of Jesus. But listen, we need to wake up. Our people up. I'd love to put together a bumper sticker that says, I reject the new norms. We have norms already established by the Constitution of the United States. Certain inalienable rights given to us by God, and nobody can take that away. And to abuse and weaponize, it's just nuts. I got way over here. I'm going to bring it back for a minute. But these are things that we need to be aware of. Listen, they're going to be facing you very soon. They're putting together a huge force. And when you find out what they are planning on doing, this is no longer conspiracy theory. If you think it's conspiracy theory, you have your head in the sand. They are now able to justify a lot of things. There is a real deep state. And they're now able, through this mess, to put things forward that they've never gotten away with before. If you've never heard of the Corbett Report, go on there and find out who Bill Gates is. He's anti-God. He said so with his own mouth. He's a globalist. He's not pro-America. He certainly is not pro-America. In God we trust. He and the others, big funders, they have a completely separate direction that they're driving. And you need, I'm about out of time. And today I know I'm going a little different direction than we did last week, but we'll come back. But I feel like we need to make sure we understand these truths before we go any farther. We all right? So here we are. If any of you, here's what James chapter 5 verses, all that was free. We'll get back to the mail, okay? James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. If any of you lack wisdom, here's a promise for you people. Listen, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and doesn't hold back at all. Upbraideth not, King James says. And it will be given him. Let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. That right there has been a point of confusion for many, many people because the way that it has been taught and interpreted is that if you need faith for healing, you need faith for provision, you need faith for whatever, that your faith has to be perfect or you don't get nothing. That's not the context here at all. If you read the whole context of James chapter 1, you will see that a Jew writing largely to Jews, a Jewish believer, we forget that the early church was Jewish, and he's writing to Jewish believers. They are
still firmly in touch with what has just ended, and a whole new covenant has come into play. Everything that they trusted in has been wiped out. 2 Corinthians 3 makes that very clear. That which was glorious, speaking of the law and how mankind relates to the Father. Of course, they didn't even know Father. They knew him as God, but they knew him as Father. 2 Corinthians 3 says, that which was glorious must needs be done away so that that which is much more glorious would take its place. Paul goes on to say that that which was written in stone, the ministry of death and the ministry of condemnation, speaking of the Ten Commandments. Now, if you think I'm against the Ten Commandments, you're wrong. I believe they still stand. They are still very real. I don't agree. I've said it before. I don't agree with grace preachers that say they ought to come out of the schoolhouse and the courthouse and government. Absolutely not. For Paul said the law still stands. It's the righteous, holy law of God. And the law is for the lawless. But if you've come into Jesus, you are no longer considered by or are in your spirit lawless. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no fear of punishment from God. The rest of that was added by translators. That's why it's in italics in your Bible. So you can just cross it out. The next verse says, Romans 8:2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. What you said a little while ago was so awesome. The law, God gave us the scales. My righteousness was not going to get it done. And it brought us to our need of a Savior so that the scales on our eyes could be removed. That's awesome. I didn't get it just exactly the way you put it, but that was awesome. Scales and scales. Pretty awesome. Love it, Sean. I'm running out of time fast. That means you'll just have to come juiced up for next week. Where was I? Wisdom. Oh, I know where I was at. Faith wavering. Your faith is, he's not saying your faith has to be perfect. What he's saying is, if your understanding of who God is off. If you've never read James chapter 1, take the religious glasses off that I had on my eyes for years being raised in Pentecostalism, hardcore holiness. Everything in the Bible was scary. I'm so glad that everything in the Bible now points to Jesus. There's freedom there. In this book, when I found out the context and the audience and what was going on, I found out that they struggled. Israel struggled with understanding God as Father. And in this chapter, he has a big message for them on the heels of this statement. He says, let no man say when he is tested that he is tested by God. For God tests no man with evil. That's a departure from the Hebrew mentality. To go on down at the end of that verse and say, for every perfect gift comes down from the Father. This was like, wow! Every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He said, this is different now. Jesus changed it all. He spoke of works in a different context. He said, a man who hears and doesn't do deceives himself. We blame a lot of stuff on the devil. But if we hear truth and we don't act on it, we deceive ourselves. And then he explains what that work is. This isn't a work unto salvation. This is a work in response to truth. He says that we should, he said, a man who does this is like a man who looks in a mirror and goes away and forgets what manner of man he is. Fun little thought right here before we close. Do you know that you've never actually seen your physical self? Think about it. I have never seen me physically. I've seen myself in a reflection. Some of you are like, what? Think about it. Think about it. He says, a man who hears and doesn't do is like a man who looks in a mirror and goes away and forgets what he looks like, forgets what manner of man he is. He said, but I tell you today, a Jew speaking to Jews, a whole new covenant has come into play. And I realize if you haven't been here for a while, there's a lot of gaps here. I'm happy to answer questions or just hang around and I'll fill in these gaps because we've taught on this stuff for years. But he says this, he says, the way to fix this is to look into another mirror. And he references it as the perfect law of liberty, the new covenant of grace, in which I look into this mirror and I find in here a new reflection of the new me in Jesus. This is the double, this is the faith wavering aspect of this. Do we trust that God is who he says he is? Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says, I fear for you. I'm jealous for you that like Eve, interesting comment, you would be removed from the simplicity which is in or is the gospel. Simple things that are powerful are missed because of wavering faith, double-mindedness. How many know that have struggled and had a battle, but you stood in faith and saw God do powerful things? He met you where you were at. Not only that, it's not all about your faith. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, some of you may never heard this before, but most of you have been with us regularly, I've heard it. Galatians 2:20, Paul gives a really cool secret. He says, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by my own faith. No, he didn't say that. He said, I live this life now by the faith of the Son of God. When you came into Jesus, he put faith in you. It's his faith. You're not alone. You're standing. So this faith wavering is a group of people who are struggling with a new understanding of God saying who he is. He's not against me. He's for me. And where the enemy comes in is to cause you to doubt that God has you covered. Double-mindedness can affect your ability to believe God for healing. Maybe many of you don't know. I mean, some of you do. But I've seen God do. I was cured like that of a blood disease. They said I'd never, ever, ever be cured from. They don't know how I got it. I remember the day it happened. True story. I smashed into a cinder block wall. Jeff, I don't know if you know this. This leg right here. Smashed into a cinder block wall by a piece of equipment, compound fracture, main bone, femur bone, went through the main artery and the main vein, severing them in two. They have no idea why I'm alive. My wife, who happened to come on the site right as it happened, it's a long story, began to shout the name of Jesus and jump up and down, spinning in circles. To this day, they have no explanation at Holmes Regional Medical Center. They don't know why I'm alive. They don't know why I have. My vein and arteries, as big as your thumb, those of you that are medical people, you know what was severed completely in two. They have no explanation for why I'm alive. They clotted, and for 5.5 hours, I was with no blood flow to the rest of my leg. My wife stood. I'll never forget when the accident happened, instead of screaming in panic and fear, I'll never forget. And those of you who heard the story many times, here it is again. And to encourage you, what came out of her was what she'd been putting inside. She hadn't been storing fear and fear and fear. When everybody, the Word of God was in her, and I'll never forget her jumping in a circle, saying, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, and praying in other tongues, and then in the name of Jesus. To this day, they don't understand why I'm alive. I do. You say, oh, you must be really special, Pastor Lee. No. We serve a special God. Do you trust that He will do what He says He will do? The devil is after you to make you double-minded. Now, I'm over time. We're living in a time where double-minded is being imposed on us and untruths. Next week, we're going to come back. If you're watching the video, we didn't lose track. We're not ducking the issue. I just have to lay foundation before we move any farther. Okay? We're not ducking the issue at all. We're going to hit it hard and hit it right down the middle. I gave you a little hint of some of the areas, but listen. Their onslaught is to intimidate everybody, and especially the church. They see us as a huge foe. Rise up in strength. Rise up in the power of the Spirit. All right? My message is over. You can leave anytime you want, but those of you who want to stay, I want you to stand and pray with me in Jesus' name. Here's what Ephesians 6 says. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Your battle does not start in the flesh. Your battle is not after the flesh. Your battle is after the Spirit. And here's the part that so many people miss. That scripture is quoted, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But it says, but against. Are you wrestling this morning? Are you standing? Are you believing God? We're out of time, but I want us to pray right now. Father, in Jesus' name, we lift up our president today. We're told by the Spirit of God, through the Apostle Paul, to young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you don't know what else to do, pray and lift up those in authority that you may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Today, we lift up President Trump. Strengthen him. Protect him. He's not a perfect man. I don't even know if he's a believer. But what I do know is that he is fighting for our cause. And that your hand has him there. That he may know you and the power. Come on, pray with me, people. That he may know you and the power of your resurrection. All through human history, we've seen where you've turned the heads of kings. Where you've gained entrance to their hearts. Men that we never dreamed would be those men led your people out of captivity into freedom. The battle is not over. I'm here to tell you it hasn't even started. Stand in Jesus' name. Having done all to stand, Paul tells us, the Spirit tells us through Paul, having done all to stand, stand therefore. Don't let the water on the outside get inside your ship. Stand firm. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Educate, know, and we're going to help you do some of that, all right? But Father, today in Jesus' name, we lift up our country. And I come against the spirit of Antichrist and godlessness and control. The spirits, demonic spirits that drive riots and murder and all of the things that we're seeing in Jesus' name. This is what people, you think that's crazy talk? This is what the Word of God says we do when we resist in the Spirit. All right? So, Father, today, in Jesus' name, we stand according to your Word. You said that if any two of you should agree, we got a whole lot more than two in here, that if we would agree concerning a matter, that it would be done by you for us. So, Father, today in Jesus' name, we stand together in Jesus' name. Right here for our precious state of Arizona. Father, God, in Jesus' name, wake Ducey up. Let him see what's happening under his feet. Father God, wake people up. Wake your people up that we would peacefully, yet with authority and strength, rise up and stand against tyranny in Jesus' name. We come against the enemy of control. You got quiet on me. Don't let me do all this. Come on. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. And we speak grace over this nation, grace over our leaders, grace over this state, grace over our governor and others. And different from the world's reaction, we speak grace to our enemies. Sally, I heard the heart of God in your word. For you love them. You died for them. You love them too. We cannot let hate become a part of our MO. Father, in Jesus' name, we bless them. Open their minds. Open their eyes. Let them see truth. And more important than any of this stuff, let Jesus be known. Let people know who you are. And let each of us be emboldened to share the love of God, the love of Christ in our day-to-day walk. In Jesus' name. If you believe that, everybody shout amen.
Amen.
Let me pray.